Ro Dollar Flow Bigliani, along with my partner, Telly TJ Vangeli. This is Cross Vegas. After years of sowing seeds of faith as up-and-coming televangelists, TJ and I crashed into our new endeavor of being social mediators for the kingdom right here in Las Vegas. We're demonstrating the blessing that he wants for you in our latest project of prosperity at Cross Vegas. Come join us as we bring the redemption of riches to the Sin City. After all, what happens here stays in heaven.
We are in the middle of what you might call a project, what you might call an undertaking of the Lord. Which has overtaken us. This undertaking has overtaken us in an undertow of activity. It's brought us right into contact with the worst that secular society has to offer.
Literally in the devil's backyard.
In the devil's backyard, we are claiming it. We are knocking down the gates of hell, and we are asking for permits to erect the structure just inside those gates. Understandably, the Devil's City does not grant permits to erect structures just inside their broken down gates very easily.
You know, for a city that's known for loose people, loose waists, loose women, they have some tight controls when it comes to just putting up a building. Surprisingly.
Well, folks, but we're making good progress on one of the more important fronts, which is, of course, the biblical scene statuary that we're putting up outside of our Cross Vegas structure down on the corner of Mesquite and Twin Lakes in South Las Vegas, just off I-95. And, you know, we've chosen a particular biblical scene. And I don't know, Rudy, if you wanna go ahead and read the passage that we've selected.
Oh, absolutely. And these biblical scenes, this is just a way to represent exactly what we're doing in a visual, artistic way. And so our passage here comes from 2 Kings. 2 Kings in the second chapter. And he went up from thence unto Bethel, and as he was going up by the way, there came forth little children out of the city and mocked him and said unto him, Go up, thou bald head, go up, thou bald head. And he turned back, looked down on them, and cursed them in the name of the Lord, hallelujah. And there came forth two she-bears out of the wood, and tear 40 and two children of them. For those that are learned, for the learned ear, there's really no explanation needed when we think about what we're trying to do at Cross Vegas, across the street from Las Vegas. But we've realized just how scripturologically illiterate many people are, particularly in the city council and those that would be giving out permits. And so there's been TJ, would you say a discussion regarding this rendering of this passage?
Yeah, particularly when we've engaged with Councilman Cedric Crayer, who's on the southern Nevada Regional Public Works Council, to which we, of course, had to give an interpretation of the Lord's word. First of all, these Philistines needed to understand 40 and 2 is 42 in the modern parlance, but it's been 40 and 2 for 400 years, plenty of time to get up to speed on the authorized version, also known as the King James the First version. But what Cedric Crayer had to say was really an example of this biblical illiteracy we've been talking about. So, first of all, we do show 42 children, being mauled by bears. Now, that, of course, reached some with some objections. We have the children, which are, of course, not to scale, but they're more like lawn gnomes with none of those little red hats on. No curled shoes, but just dressed in contemporary clothing, as you would expect. When we're trying to reach the people, they need to see the children are clothed regular-like, not in robes or loincloths or any of that that we used to could dress the children in. So there's 40 and two boys, and we're showing them in the act of being mauled, in a state of recent maulation, and in a state of terror-filled running from the mauling bears. And in a couple cases, suspended by wires over the bear's head like they're popcorn about to be thrown back by the bears. Now, this reached with some objection, as you can imagine, from the secular society, because of their secularization of our society. But then, perhaps more surprising was the opposition to how we depicted the she-bears. Now, I don't know if you've seen any bears recently, but the she-bits on she-bears are not profoundly visible in a way that you'd prefer, unless you get right up near their undercarriage. And we decided to perhaps anthropomorphize slightly, showing some somewhat more human secondary sexual characteristics on the she-bears. Because the fact that they're she-bears is emphasized in the text, we don't want to lose that. We don't want to lose anything from the text.
Being true to the text is one of the things that we laid down as a foundation of this whole display of the statues, whether it be this story or another. And there was some discussion about it, but we thought, well, in this context, we have to appeal to the person that's just driving by, not the learned eyes. And so for that reason, we thought, you know, we're gonna kind of pump them up. You know, we're not going to just make someone wonder, is that a male bear or a female bear? And nope, it's going to be quite clear that these are she bears, and they're ready to nurse, and they're ready to provide for their young in a very clear way. And they're also mauling these children. I couldn't, you know, when we're receiving a lot of I guess we'd say persecution over this, and it flows from what you know we've both been identifying as a homo secularization of city government, in which there's one secular view on the same kind of secular view. And there's kind of a contradiction to when you're faced with a homo secularization, and then there's generally no acceptance of an outside, even if it's the truth from the Word of Scripture. So that's going to be an uphill battle. We're going to have to, you know, swim upstream on this, I think, for most of the project, but. But it was a little bit more than just there's the mauling of the children, there was the she bears, but there's a quite a few issues that they brought up.
Yeah, particularly the eyes. So of course we needed a separate permit, electrical permit, for the light up eyes on the bears, which we really meant to kind of attract the nighttime visitor. Right, attract that visitor towards our installation, which would, of course, for now, also have an empty pit in the ground, which will serve as foundation. But we wanted to distinguish. It's not a public pool going in here. It's actually a metaphor. Of course, it'll be a metaphor in a different way once there's a building there, but for now it's a metaphor of a pit one might fall in as you're questioning the scriptures. So if you're approaching at night, looking at those eyes, those light up glowy eyes on the female, bears, we want you to have that come to Jesus moment where literally the ground falls out from underneath you as you approach the bears.
Absolutely. That we're just experiencing his word in this way. And I know for those that read it, when you read that passage, it's like the author, who is the Holy Spirit, lays a trap for the reader. And the reader thinks, you know what, I wouldn't have been one of them children that be downgraded the prophet by calling him Baldy. And then what we're trying to do with this is I know people aren't going to read it, but they're going to see it. And when they fall into that pit, they're going to think, oh, there it is. I'm just like them kids. And I may not have be downgraded the Lord's prophet for his hairline, but I did some things today here in Las Vegas, and now I'm going to have my come to Jesus moment. And I was drawn in, but now I'm going to be drawn out.
Now, I love what you just said about being drawn in and drawn out. You know, there's a practice in Las Vegas called catch and release, where you accidentally flirt with a prostitute, and then you get to the point of understanding that she's a prostitute, and you release her. You release her from that bond. And, you know, she may have something to say about wasting her time and didn't you read her name tag and the title that was on the name tag. But, you know, it happens over and over again that you catch someone and then you got to release them. You think they're interested, they're not. Or they're interested in a way in which you're not interested. It's a Las Vegas specific situation, I suppose.
But you know, it's all about being all things to all people in that particular context, and we've honed in on that. It's very important.
Yeah, we're working on more biblical scenes too. We're thinking of, you know, Las Vegas specific scenes, such as when Noah gets drunk and then gets naked, but and then has to be covered up. That's a very common occurrence in Las Vegas, and we feel like that would be a relatable scene, but how to depict that, right? Oh, so how do you know it's Noah? Are you going to surround him with a naked man with animals? And then are you going to have a boat maybe up on the ledge somewhere that shows there's Mount Ararat with the ark? Or how are you going to show he's drunk? You got a drunk face on Noah? You got a beer in his hand? That's an anachronism.
Absolutely. And there's the other challenge of just trying to modernize it just a little bit so that that people can understand and relate to that. And so we'd thrown out an idea of having a homeless sexual laying on the ground, but have the animals surrounding him. And within the focus groups, there's some fairly good response. One person thought it was, kind of a horror film, animals escape from the zoo, but it made a connection. That's the important part.
Right. And we're going for that strong reaction. So we know when someone covers their eyes seconds into showing our 3D animated artist rendering that we've made a connection. If they hold out their hand in front of their face to cover the screen, we know that they've been convicted through.
Absolutely. And that was actually part of the response to the bear. If I can circle back to that, is there was within the focus group, there's some people that are quite shocked to see a bear with teats of that size. We actually believe that it may not be as exaggerated as one might think. I think over the course of time and our influence in society has made animals to be less gender revealing. And I believe in the old in the ancient times, in the times of the Bible, that animals were clearly seen as male or female. You didn't have to uncover any fur. You didn't have to go rooting around to see if a rabbit was male or female. It was just clear. It was just...
Yeah, viva la différence.
Absolutely. It was just, you know, it was there for all to see, just swinging right there. You could tell. And so that's another hard thing to explain. This is to say we're not trying to be pornographic with animals, but we're actually trying to be true to what we believe actually is the word. And in that way, we're trying to stay true. And even though this society, whether it be human or animal, is trying to extinguish gender roles, we're going to stand up and say, we're not going to do that. And we're going to call a spade a spade. And for that matter, we ain't going to spade any animals.
No, and you know what? If people are turned off by 5,000-year-old pornography, well, I'm sorry, that's just reality. I can't sugarcoat that for you. And you know, in our day and age, you bring up a great point, which is that around all things gender, but beyond gender, we're in a cancel culture. You can't just put up a statue. I mean, talk about statues. The real lightning rod of controversy, even those that don't have lightning rods on them to catch the lightning, they're still lightning rods of controversy. And that's what we fear, even if we get the electrical permit, which is probably the least of our worries, from that Southern Nevada Regional Planning Coalition. The electrical permit probably come easiest, all things considered. But even if we get that, my feeling is we're going to have several groups of people still objecting to the statues themselves. First off, there could be prudes, right? I was a prude at one point, so I can speak for them. I have friends who are prudes. I was a prude, then there was a period where I wasn't a prude. Then I was a prude again, and now I'm again not a prude at this point. I've depruded. I may become one again in the future. I'm just saying it's a choice. Anyway, you could have someone covering the secondary sexual characteristics of the she-bears with cloths. But you know what? All that does is inflame men's lust again by making it look like they're wearing a swimsuit top, which everybody knows is twice as provocative as just seeing a naked animal.
And then, goodness, we're going to have to deal with all the controversy of taking that top off that statue, which is going to be even worse because, once you put it on, we're just going to have to leave it there.
Well, then you've got the possibility of people trying to, you know, I'm going to use the air quotes here, rescue the children from the wrath of God, maybe to set up in their own yards, be they mauled as they are, as little lawn gnomes, which would, of course, be a blasphemy against the scriptures.
Yep, and then it would be a blasphemy if we ended up with anything less than 40 and 2.
Oh, exactly. Which is our whole intent, is to be true to that scripture. You know, and I can imagine, just as they do on everything that's any fun involving animals, the animal rights people would not be happy about the bears being given human breasts. I'm sorry, but look, I'm going to turn the tables on these SOBs. Aren't we all animals? If you're going to give me animal characteristics, can I give my human animal characteristics to human-like animals?
Absolutely. I mean, if they take up something about the bear, the she-bear, then we might as well block every centaur from coming into the next, fantasy medieval fair that they do over in Las Vegas. It's just it's inconsistent.
Right. If I'm going to go to the Cirque du Soleil and I'm going to see any number of centaurs, any number of fawns, or Lord help us, any number of fauns riding centaurs. Now, how is that accurate to nature? I asked the animal rights activists.
I mean, there's all manner of human mixing with animal. And to be perfectly honest, we see representations of it in scripture all the time. So what's the difference? Now let me just put this out there. I know this is going to be, you know, might make some people a little bit uncomfortable, and they're going to have to reach for that Pepto-Bismol. But, you know, you read in the Revelation about these different creatures that have both human and animal characteristics. That's of the Lord. And so if I take a she-bear and I put human breasts on it, how is that any different? If you follow me right there.
That's pretty much putting eyes all over a wheel and calling it the living creature. I mean, well, that gives me an idea, right? I mean, talk about a cultural crossover phenomenon. You got a Cross Vegas statue right there. It might even be a Cross Vegas amusement ride, if you ask me. That sounds like one of those Ferris wheels where...
You're going back to your country roots with some rides from the county fair. I like where you're going with this, though. This is good. This is redeemed.
I'm sensing that it is. You know, all the prophets, Ezekiel in particular, have multiple fulfillments. I dare say if we queried the entire church-going population of these United States, we would see a different fulfillment of Ezekiel in everyday life on an ongoing basis, but this could be one of them. You have a Ferris wheel covered in eyes. Some of the eyes are big. That's where the people go. You kind of walk in. You look out the iris part of it. Some of the eyes are small, just decorative-like. Some of the eyes are security cameras. Course.
It does remind me of our initial, before we really landed on Cross Vegas, we had the idea of a sort of an amusement park land, theme park, if you will, that was all based on Ezekiel. And I think, you know, we need to go back to the notes, because what you're talking about with this ride with the eyes, that's just going to fit in perfectly. And we could, because there are some good ideas that we had, but and, you know, we had the concessions, the Ezekiel-themed concessions. So at first glance, it might sound a little bit odd, but I think once you try it, you know, you get some... You talk about wood-fired pizza. We had some dung-fired pizzas. This is just stuff at an amusement park. You only eat it once a year. It's okay. We had the 2-foot-long donkey dog.
Yeah, I tell you what, whether it's donkey dogs or any of the other amusements or delicacies from Ezekieland, I think a lot of those are still good. We gotta, you know, though, the thing was, we developed those ideas before becoming social mediators. We were not in the moment we're in now. And I do feel, on some level, that courtyard of gizmos is still relevant.
You know, we've grown a lot as in this profession, you know, and it keeps changing, it keeps evolving with the media that's available to us at our fingertips. And I'd venture to say that we have been pioneers of the tele-cyber evangelist movement. But even some of the more, I would say even more powerful platforms out there, Tinder, Grindr.
Yeah, you know, we've been calling ourselves the burning bush of Tinder, the flaming sword of Grindr. Now, mm-hmm. I have my complaints about the Grindr platform. I mean, talk about a sausage fest. We're trying to reach people, and it feels like there's just these young men, of which we can hardly count ourselves any longer, knowing that we're coming into our 40th year. But what on earth is happening with that site? It's like I don't see any preferences or controls. I can't uncheck homosexual, which I always do whenever given the chance in any context, above unchecking that box, which I have to say I'm offended that they would default to homosexual as the setting, but you know, to each their own. But when I'm on Grindr, I'm just seeing the same thing over and over again.
Well, it's like a men's group, and we, you know, we've all done a men's group, but this one is, it's online, and it's not as much a group as it is just, well, it's messages that we can send to one another, encouraging messages. But you're right, it's very much a men's oriented group. I've been surprised, not a lot of football discussion. There's different categories though, like there's one different interest groups, and I think that's where we kind of find ourselves gravitating towards interest groups on there. One of them was interested in bears, and you know, we just came off a she-bear discussion there, but you know that we have something to say. So what I'm trying to get at is I have something to say in the bear group, because I can bring in that scripture and say, have you ever heard of this story? And what do you think about that? And
right.
And it's powerful.
And have you ever considered, men of Grindr, inviting some she bears to your bear themed group? Perfect segue.
Absolutely. We're trying to build up the next generation, build families. And some of these guys just need, they're just not that bold, if I can say that. They're it's like they're hiding in a closet somewhere, and we're just saying, come on out and take a risk with a young lady in the name of the Lord.
Risky, Lord blessed dating of young women. I mean, that is the name of the ministry. Sub-segment, I Got Holy Ghosted, which is all about, why was my prayer not answered?
If I could just start from there, I wanted to bring to light a prayer that had been brought to me, and this is kind of weaving a couple things together, but I, as you know, I've really had a heart for Instagram. And I've been meeting a lot of people on Instagram and liking a lot of different things on Instagram. And I hear a lot of requests. And I kind of pride myself as being kind of the Balaam's ass of Instagram. Mm. And that's Instagram's a great place. I like to lurk in an unassuming way. And then I just hit people with the truth. And then I just watch the fruit flow from there. And there's so many opportunities. If I just to set this up, I mean, it's been a great tool for me to connect with people in a 21st century sort of way. You got people putting pictures and what they call stories, which is actually just video clips. And you can say things on there about things, and you can put emojis next to pictures and some great ordained redeemed emojis, the splash of water, holy water. We got fruit of the spirit, just throw a peach on there. And these emojis, they speak a lot, and I think a lot of people like to use them. So when I go up on Instagram, people don't know that it's me. And that's, I think, the beautiful thing about it is I can go on there, I can start up a conversation, and I'm like Balaam's ass. And because suddenly I just start speaking the word
right
to people right there. And so there was this one individual that really believed that that God had told them that they needed to get a surgery on themselves, and they were raising money for that. And this particular request was not answered. And I was just wondering, TJ, in your experience, when I know you interact with a lot of people that have requests for different types of surgeries on themselves, and how do you respond to something like that?
Yeah, you know, part of the answer that the Lord gives to surgeries is surgeons. When they do the surgery, you know the Lord has answered your prayer. But when they don't do the surgery, it's God's way of saying, this surgery might happen to you at a different time in a way you don't expect, and perhaps at the hand of someone you didn't expect to be performing the surgery.
Absolutely. Because I think there's a misconception with people in our line of work that there's no need for the surgery. And I'd say maybe a yes and no. You know, if there's a surgeon out there with the gifted hands, he's actually performing a healing on you, even though a lot of the science would like to give that credit to science. But in this particular case, we had there was a young person that was asking, when I finally told them who I was, they said they didn't need a healing, but they wanted a surgery in their buttocks region. And upon inquiry, I realized that the reason they hadn't gotten an answer is because they were believing there was a problem when there really wasn't a problem there.
You know, and that can be a great way that God answers our prayers. He said, you asked me a nonsensical question. Are you asking God, has he stopped beating his wife yet? Well, it's a nonsensical question. Jesus ain't never get married.
That's right. A lot of people are going to say that he does, and they say, well, I saw it in a movie or in the Da Vinci Code or something.
Last Temptation of Christ.
Absolutely. But in this case, just sort of put a pin in this one, I said, well, you know, I hear you, and I'm going to do one thing for you. I'm going to lift it up. You said you want this surgery in that in your glutes. I'm gonna lift it up, and
I'm gonna raise those glutes.
We're gonna raise them up to him, and we'll see if the Lord will actually reveal his will for that region of your body.
As you go away, one day decide at a time. Weakness as you go away, one day decide at a time.
At a time, can you just share with us how your week's been going?
You know, I've been struggling each day, being that it's election time. I've been struggling with dealing with guilt over having committed a sin against our country. If you can believe it or not, born, you know, red, white, and blue-blooded American like myself, born and bred, that phrase always kind of catches me up a little bit. I've been born and then I was bred. Yeah, I feel like the breeding comes first. Talk about a gender bender in our society. Well, this born and bred, like I'm gonna become what I am after I'm born. Seems like a secularization there. In any case, I've been struggling because, And I had to call up the FBI about this. They weren't very helpful, but you know how they are these days. Deep state. Anyway, I called them up to admit I voted twice.
No. No.
I voted twice. I admitted.
Oh, no.
Well, I called the hotline, and at first they were all excited about it, you know, the Trump campaign hotline, because they've been looking for things like this. They've been offering money here in my home state of Texas. They've been offering $25,000 per case of verified fraud. Lieutenant Governor put that out. And I thought, you know, I could use $25,000. That was my first thought. Then my second thought was, I have a sin to get off of my chest. And, you know, it's ruining my week to have this on my conscience. So win-win, 25 large, and get this off my chest. So I called the Trump campaign hotline right after I called the FBI, who didn't even want to hear from me. I called the Trump campaign hotline, and I told them I'd gone into the polling place. I said, give me one of them ballots. Don't give me that Sharpie. Give me something that'll actually work on the ballot. They gave me some other off-brand Sharpie. I don't think it's going to work any better, but who knows. I fill in the bubble, of course, next to the president's name. Still want him to be president. Can't imagine why not. And then I saw a little space for a write-in. And I thought, I want this to be extra clear. If this Sharpie business is true, and so long as my vote for Kanye doesn't count against me. I mean, I mailed that ballot in, but then, you know, he conceded midway through the day. So I, of course, went back in and filled in this ballot for the president. And I just wrote in Donald Joseph Trump. Had to cross out Joseph, realized that was wrong. How could I? Had to write in Donald John Trump. So there's, you know how you, when you cross something out with marker, you kind of do a little hump over the word that you crossed out, right? The other one all squiggly-like. And it wrote, filled in his name a second time. And really, that was filling it in a third time because I made the mistake I described. So I turn the ballot in, I come home, and I just can't shake the feeling that I betrayed the president.
There's just no shame.
I betrayed.
There's no shame there. I mean, I see what you're doing. I, you know, you wanted your vote to count. And so I understand it completely. In fact, I wish I would have done the same, because when I filled in that bubble, I thought, you know what they're going to do? They're going to find a way for that to jump the ink. They're going to jump the ink down to the other selection. And so what you did was just, it's like you put a little insurance policy on that vote. I like that.
Right, because on yours, it's just two punches of the little hole puncher, and you got that ink jumped right out of there. You make a blank space where there should be black space.
It makes perfect sense to me, but now help me understand what exactly, because I heard your whole story. I don't understand how you did anything wrong.
You know, I can't tell you why. But it burdened my conscience, so partly because once I called, they said, well, I don't want you to call the FBI. Why have you already called the FBI? Your vote isn't going to count. And then I realized something had gone wrong, and I had betrayed the president by causing myself to vote in a manner that would not count. Now, granted, it had been my third or fourth, depending on how you count that cross out Joseph, put in John matter, third or fourth ballot of the day that I'd try to do. But as it turns out, the FBI people said, it sounds like you voted for Kanye West. And I said, no, no, no. I was very clear on the ballot. I wrote in a little extra note about that on the ballot. I didn't mention that. With the Sharpie, I wrote in, I voted for Kanye with a mail-in ballot. I hereby, in the name of the Lord, rescind that ballot. And please note which name I have filled in as a write-in candidate and as a regular candidate. Look at the bubble. Wrote all that on there. But when I told campaign people, they just kind of sighed real long, like, And they said, well, Lord help you. And they hung up on me, but I called the FBI just to make sure my conscience was clear. And you know what? The Lord provided. The person I talked to assured me that only one of my votes would count. They couldn't quite tell which one was going to count, but they assured me that no more than one of them would count. And that they're grateful for my call, partly because, and I didn't quite follow this, but partly because they said many hundreds of Trump supporters had called with similar stories, and it was a relief to this particular agent that we'd all done about the same thing. Couldn't really tell why he was saying that, but anyway, I had unburdened my conscience by helping this FBI agent feel good about themselves and their job for the day. I'd made their job worthwhile first time all year for this deep state crony. You know, customer service on the phone. That's what the FBI should be known for.
I appreciate that vulnerability and just your conscience. It's like your conscience was saying something and you just followed it, and you weren't going to let some deep state Pinocchio string man tie a rope around your vote and choke you out and in the confusion and the mess of it all. And so, I mean, I'm glad that that got sorted out, but my goodness, I had no idea, because now I'm starting to rethink even how I voted myself, and this is getting me a little bit. But you know what? I mean, His grace covers it all. His mercy, His blood. So,
you know, I sense in the spirit right now that I want to call for an outpouring of the blood of the Lord over all of these ballots. I just see a vision of just the ballots falling into just a vat of the blood of Jesus and getting cooked up in there. And whatever we put on there, God's changing it through His blood to be whatever He wanted those ballots to be. I may have voted wrongly, but He voted rightly.
Absolutely. That's redemption right there. That image that you just communicated is absolutely beautiful. Just His blood saturating all those ballots, all those votes. You know, for all the things that we do wrong and all those missteps and those people that voted without knowing what they were doing, His blood's going to cover it all and make it right.
Amen.
TJ, thank you for saying what needed to be said.